Hi, I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we ask the important questions like,
hey Mary, what's in the new Chicken Crispy wrap?
What the fuck?
What's up?
What
are you doing?
I'm eating as always.
Good. Do you like your food?
My food, although it looks very dubious, it's very good.
Ay, que racista. Dubious? Why? Because I bought it at the Mexican market?
No, because it looks like bad kermes food. The rice.
Bad what?
Kermes food.
What's kermes food?
A kermes is like a neighborhood, like block party. That's what it is. So like las vecinas, you know, make their own food and they make a lot of it and then they sell it for whatever purpose, you know? So
like a potluck.
Yeah, but there's they can hire rides and petting zoo or whatever. It's like a big thing.
Wow.
And so it's like a block party.
Cool. We don't have that here. I wish we did.
Oh, but this rice cannot make it, I don't know what color it is.
Yeah. So my favorite thing to do, one of my favorite things to do for lunch is to go to the mercados. And most of the ones in Vegas have a deli, right? So you can order and eat at the restaurants. And they usually have a special. So like for $7, you can get like 5 pounds of food. And so that's what I did today. So I got some camarones with rice and beans. Mm-hmm. And then I got some al pastor de puerco con... with rice and beans.
Y con un chingo de piña.
It's so good.
And the tortillas?
They make them there.
They're amazing.
They make them. They have a tortilleria in there.
They're gigantic and thick, but juicy.
Ay, cálmate. Jesus.
¿Qué te pasa?
And I also got you something to drink. What do you think about your drink?
It's so good.
What is it?
Agüita de melón.
Hey, agüita de melón.
Okay.
So, what's new, man? What's going on?
Nothing. I am just taking all this Juan Gabriel news in, everything that is happening surrounding that.
Yeah.
People are showing their true colors on Facebook. Mm-hmm. A couple of my friends have been posting regarding that. Like, they're just getting rid of friends because all the homophobic comments are coming in.
No.
People are getting mad that people are referring to Juan Gabriel as a queer icon now. So all this shit is coming up, and it's been very interesting.
Yeah.
Including, there was this guy, he was the director of the Televisión UNAM, or the TV station for the most important university in Latin America. Not only in Mexico, but in Latin America.
Uh-huh.
His name is Nicolás Alvarado.
Okay.
So he wrote like an entry, like a blog entry.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a blog entry about why he doesn't like Juan Gabriel, because... it's okay not to like Juan Gabriel, you know? Like, it's okay.
Sure.
I don't understand it, but it's
sure,
okay.
Sure.
So he said, I don't like Juan Gabriel because I'm classist. Basically, that's what he said.
Oh, that's an...
And
that's
then I'm going to say this in Spanish. I mean, in Spanish, and you help me translate it. He said, no me gustan sus lentejuelas, no por jotas, sino por nacas.
He said that?
He said that. So I don't like his...
What the fuck?
I know. He's, I don't know, like...
Jota is a derogatory term.
Yes.
Joto.
Okay, yeah.
And he's making a public statement saying that.
Yeah, so he's like, I don't like his clothes, not because they're faggotry, but because they are ghetto. That's basically what he said. So he did a homophobic and classist statement.
You think he's gay?
Well, his jackets are...
I knew it. Only... closeted people come out and make public statements like that.
Yeah.
Because they hate themselves.
So anyway.
Ugh.
So he said that and people, I mean, we're talking about Juan Gabriel now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge deal. And people started protesting. They started a campaign where they collected, I think, something like 10,000 signatures in like 24 hours.
Of course.
And he just quit today.
Mm-hmm.
Ya lo sé. Que tú te vas. I'm sorry, I think so bad.
But, yep.
So
wow.
So Nicolás Alvarado, Bye. Don't let the door hit you on your way out.
Bye, Felipe.
Adios, Felipe. And there's a real... So he wrote this essay about how the music structure and the poetry structure of Juan Gabriel doesn't follow classical rules, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, Yuri Vargas, and we'll put the link in the website, wrote a response, and he broke down Amor Eterno. Said, uh-huh. This is how many estrofas it is, and this is what it is, and these are the rules from the Renaissance yes. that he's using. It is so elegant and beautiful. So he showed him, and, you know, he's history now. It's, it's just been, I don't know, it's been very, very interesting to me.
People are going to be careful, man. It's a new day. I mean, we still live in this homophobic patriarchy, but people are more woke now than ever, so.
And it's so refreshing and so awesome to see that happening in Latin American countries, because with the advent of social media, you've been seeing that a lot in the States. But to see that in Mexico, it's just like right on. Like, I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy.
No, for sure.
And what's going on with you?
Nothing. I'm getting ready for a new show. I'm excited. At the Denver Art Museum, the show is called Mi Tierra, Artist Explore Place. And it's 13 contemporary Latino artists. Latinx artists.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing installations. So we're like taking over the fourth floor of the main museum space.
Oh, nice.
And if you've ever been to Denver, Colorado, it's a really awesome museum. So I am just so happy to be part of this show. And
it's one of the most important museums in the, like, on this side of the country.
I'm trying to be very confident and like pretend that, like,
but you're the shit.
Like, I'm the shit, and I'm as good as all the other artists. But it's like total imposter syndrome. I'm like, so I'm gonna do my absolute fucking best. And I mean, some of the art. I'm fans of some of the artists in the show. Like,
that's awesome,
they're
though.
Really
that's
important
really awesome.
Contemporary artists. So to be among them, whew, like I am. It's happening. So. I'm getting ready now. Like, the show doesn't open until February, but I'm starting to make the work for it like yesterday.
That's
so
cool.
I'm going to do this huge installation inspired by one of our podcasts.
Oh my God.
Called, remember the Frida Fantasy episode?
How can I forget?
Yeah.
Hi,
so,
Bobby, how can I forget?
That's the working title for my installation, actually. It's called Frida Fantasy.
Oh, cool.
So I will be recreating the set from the 2002 movie Frida in the museum, the courtyard.
Interesting.
Yeah, out of papel and out of paper and paper mache. I'll be recreating a lot of the pre-Columbian objects that the museum has, like, to match the movie's objects. And it's going to be a really interesting installation because I've never done anything like this.
That's so cool.
And
that collection, the Latin American collection in the museum, it's amazing. Outside of Latin America, they have the largest collection of colonial art. So it's just amazing.
Shout out to those curators. They gave me a little behind the scenes tour when I went a couple months ago,
awesome.
And it was amazing. It was so cool.
I'm gonna give a talk there in May too. It's so.
Are
exciting.
You?
Yes.
Bitch, you didn't tell me. Oh. Look at you, academic.
It's happening.
You're going to... Oh, I don't know when this shit is going to come out, so I'm not going to talk about that. But, so I'm doing that. I'm very excited. What else? Oh, and guess what?
What?
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh,
RuPaul's
my
Drag
God.
Race All-Stars just started. Well, now we're probably, what, like 3 or 4 episodes in?
It's painfully good.
Is it?
Oh.
We watched the first episode together.
Mm-hmm.
It was so awesome.
It was
it's
the best opening
so
episode
much. Fun
history
in herstory
in herstory.
Yes,
that's right.
So okay, so for you guys that don't know, me and Babelito are huge fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. I think it's the best reality show on TV ever.
Yeah, because it combines so many genres at the same time.
After 8 seasons of this show, okay,
and it still is better.
It keeps getting better. And this is something that I was going to mention, because it's such a weird show, and to show you that, you know, gay culture and drag culture is still not mainstream, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's taken them 8 seasons to finally get an Emmy nomination.
That's
so,
right.
So congrats to RuPaul. He's going to be an Emmy. Well, he's an Emmy nominee now. Hopefully he wins. But for those of you who don't know what the show is, we did a whole episode on it. I think it was like episode 2. Yes. And
about
all the Latina queens that have gone through. But basically it's like it's a reality show that's making it's great because drag is a performance of gender. A lot of the times it's a parody of mm-hmm. of gender, of the female gender and the
illusion. It's like a hyper female.
Yeah, it's an illusion. So this show is just that. It's a parody of other reality shows also. So it doesn't take itself too seriously. So it's like a mixture of like Project Runway,
America's Next Top Model.
And I don't know, like you name it, any competition reality show, right? Like Skin Wars or Work of Art or any of those shows. So Cupcake Wars. So it just depends on the episode, right? Yeah. So the queens come in and they're introduced as their drag personas, and then you see them out of drag as boys, and then they have a challenge every episode, and then at the end, RuPaul and a panel of judges critiques the drag queens based on the challenge, which mm-hmm. could be anything from making your own outfits out of trash, or making three different looks to represent a certain animal, or
making army men and women,
doing makeover shows.
That episode,
ugh, so good. Anyway, so then they pick the two. So then they pick the two least successful queens of the challenges, and then they lip sync for their lives because drag queens are known to lip sync, mm-hmm. right? In bars or whatever to women singing, mm-hmm. and then the one that lip syncs better gets to stay onto the next round. So that's what's epic about the show. Okay, I'm just so excited. And I'm just gonna keep talking about this.
There's been some lip syncs. Dita Ritz.
Dita.
I still can't get over it.
Season what?
This could be.
Ooh.
And this could
with Natalie Cole in as the judge. Oh. Oh my God. Last season, Chichi Devane singing the song from Dreamgirls.
And I am telling you.
Y las perlas. And her jewelry broke and it just went everywhere. Oh, so good.
That's the embodiment. Of Escándalo de Pulseras.
When Manila Luzon did MacArthur Park and she started crying and she was in a Big Bird outfit. Oh,
you guys gotta watch this.
Oh
this
my gosh, we're gonna put all this shit on the link so you can watch this shit.
So who are your top three queens for this?
Okay,
season?
Wait, let me explain. So
okay,
so out of all the 8 seasons, they do All Star season. So they pick the best drag queens. So it's usually by popularity. And they bring them back to do an all-star season. So there has already been an all-star one. And Chad Michaels won the first all-stars. But it was a little boo-boo because they, like, put the drag queens in teams. And they had to, like, lip-sync against each other. They always kind of changed the rules, right? This time, it's epic. It's a great idea. They have the queens lip sync for their legacy instead of lip sync for their lives.
For their legacy.
The time has come for you to lip sync for your legacy. And
stupid.
So this time it's backwards. Instead of choosing the two queens that did the worst, RuPaul chooses the queens that did the best. They perform. The winner of the performance mm-hmm. wins $10,000. So each episode,
that's right.
They win $10,000, and then the queen who wins picks who's going home. So now it's like Survivor on top of it.
Oh, el drama.
The drama.
El drama telenovelero.
And the best part is that, yes, there's drama. It's all this bullshit. A lot of people don't like RuPaul's Drag Race because it enforces a lot of these negative stereotypes of gays, you know, but whatever, they they can eat a bowl of dicks. So there's so many queens with their personalities are just amazing. And tell me, who are your favorite? Who are your top three this season? There's 10 of them.
My very top of the tops.
Uh huh.
Is Alisa Edwards.
You can't. My name is Alyssa Edwards, and this is Alyssa's Secret.
I love her.
Alyssa Edwards is awesome. She's this queen from Texas.
And it's like watching Dallas. It's
just, girl, she's always like, whoa. Let me get in this gig, girl. And then
Alaska.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
And Katya.
Those are my top three also.
They are my top three
too. Oh my gosh. So Alaska is this like really skinny queen. But you know what I love about Alaska is she really cares about her fans. And like anytime I see her, she always says hi to everybody. Anyway, that's a little behind the...
Yeah.
She's amazing. I think she's an artist. Like, she's a true artist. Just the way that she looks, her aesthetic, and then her personality. Mm-hmm. Like, she really becomes another person when she puts on drag. Mm. And just, like, the outfit from the... She made an outfit out of trash bags for the first episode. And when she walked into the workroom... Everybody was just like, holy shit, it was awesome. She has this like robot voice. She's like, hi. And then she goes,
look at you. You love her.
I love her so much. She's so stupid. Hi, my name is Alaska. No, she's like, hi, my name is Alaska Thunderfuck. Can I ask you a question? Your face right now. Okay. So anyway.
Anyway, what brings us?
Oh, Katya.
Here? Oh, Katya.
Katya is her character. She is also somebody that gets in a character. She becomes this like Russian prostitute, even though she's from Boston and she has no. I don't even think she's Russian.
She speaks it very well.
She speaks Russian. I think she studied it in school. Mm-hmm. So it's her story is interesting because I'm pretty sure she suffers from mental illness. And you can definitely see that in the show.
Really?
I think so. And like all these little things about her character are actually true. Like she did used to be a sex worker and she did... She did study Russian.
She live in a trash can too?
She probably did live in a trash can at one point. So
I'm not saying that because whatever.
One of her characters
lives
in a trash can, not Katya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we've talked enough about RuPaul.
Making that clear.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, let's talk about
We came here. Well, okay.
Yes, let's talk about our listeners. We love our listeners so much, and we decided to dedicate a whole show to listener letters today, just to really dive into the emails, answer some questions, read some comments, and I think I'm gonna go first, even though I've been talking.
But before that, we just want to make clear that we kept saying it was gonna be episode 10, but because of what happened with Juan Gabriel, we decided to do an emergency podcast, which is up. You guys can listen to it, and now we're gonna get into some of these emails, and also we want to make clear that we want to answer all of them, we want to read all of them, so we had to choose a couple of them just so we can get into some topics and some discussions. So why don't you start?
Well, actually, I'm going to read a review first because like we mentioned on the shows before, it's very important if you like the podcast for you to go on iTunes. Go to iTunes if you have the app on your phone or... if you have iTunes on your computer, that's the main distributor of podcasts. So go on iTunes, subscribe to Latinos Who Lunch in the iTunes store.
Rate it 5 stars.
Rate 5 stars, 5 stars only. And then go ahead and leave your review. And right here we have a review from Loey29. Shout out to you, girl or boy. I don't know. Love it so much. ! I love these two so much. I'm an avid podcast listener and just discovered the show. Listening to these two is honestly like listening and chatting with my friends, mi gente. So refreshing to find another fantastic Latinx voice in a sea of very beige podcasts. I will listen to this show as long as they keep making episodes, and I'll kiki with them whenever they want. So nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's cool.
And if you notice, I completely have stolen her line, or this person's line. What she says in the Sea of Very Beige podcast.
Yes.
I love saying that.
You've
now.
You've said that a couple of times.
I know. I totally stole it from her. So thank you so much.
It's so funny because when I see the reviews and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not a friend. I don't know that person.
I know.
This is happening. Like, it's so cool. Awesome. It's very cool.
People are actually listening to this trash. Yes. I can't believe it.
What is wrong with you?
I know. Well, you got an email for us, Babeluco?
Así es. Y su nombre es Michelle.
Ay, Michelle.
Michelle Mabel. Michelle from California. And the email is a little lengthy, so I'm just going to mention a couple of parts.
Okay.
First, she said that she listens to our podcast, and she's very happy that she gets to see her Chicana, Latina, Mexicana, Pocha voice being represented somewhere. So that was pretty cool. And she also found out about us through Tamarindo, so that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
And then the next part of the email reads, "It sounds like you got a lot of hate from your Frida episode." Yes, we did. "And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate it. I love Frida, the icon and the aesthetic, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't allow to be critical of her. We need to be open to criticisms of our own culture, and I would rather that it came from within than from a white person." Okay. "Sometimes I feel like our definitions of identity become so narrow and boxed in. I am a Chicana, for example, but I am not a fan of Selena." I don't hate her, cálmate. I don't hate her. Okay. "I just wasn't a fan when she was alive, and I feel like it would be a little disingenuous of me to suddenly claim to be a fan because it's what Chicanas of the internet tell me to do so. But at the same time, I feel like I can't say that because I'll get attacked and accused of being something that I'm not. So keep on keeping on with your unpopular opinions. I really love it also when you start to break down the impact of colonialism in Mexico. There is so much talked about decolonization, which is great, but at times it feels hollow to me. What exactly did colonialism look like in Mexico? What did the social structure look like? Maybe I need to read more, but I would love to hear your thoughts about it." Sinceramente, no, she said, mil gracias, Michelle.
Oh, that's nice.
That was a nice email, yes.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Why don't you start?
Me?
Yes.
Well, first of all, Michelle, you can go and jump off a building. No, I'm just kidding.
Tonta. No le hagas caso, Michelle.
Oh, no, I'm playing. You know, we don't all have to be Selena fans. Like, it's okay. I mean, some of us are right and some of us are wrong. And that's just where we're going to live. Okay, let me try one more time.
Okay, yes.
No, I totally get it because, you know, Selena died when we were young. And, like, was I truly a fan of her music ever since I was little? No, of course not. Yeah. Like, and I think I've fallen in love with her and her music and the idea of her and what she represents now that I'm older, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to be honest, that's what it is, right? It's like it's something that we could claim as Chicanos, and you're right, like to just like something just because you're supposed to like it, what good is that going to do? You know what I mean? So
yeah, and it's good. I think it's the same argument with Beyoncé. And now Juan Gabriel, right?
Yeah.
That not everybody's supposed to like them. You guys are missing out, but that's your problem.
That's fine. I mean, it's a misstep, but you can still get information. Look at Rihanna. So
she is in formation.
She's back in formation.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but it's good. And it's good to also understand that you can respect the image, what she represents. You can respect all of that without having to be a fan, and that's absolutely fine. And I love her comment about colonization and decolonization because decolonization now, or decolonialismo, it's such a like trendy word. And not only you see it in academia, but you see it everywhere, and everybody's using it. But what the hell does it mean? Like, to decolonize a space or decolonize a food, a plate of, I don't know, the tacos or whatever, right? I think what people are trying to say is that they want to bring it back to its origins, right?
Yeah.
They want to bring it back to where it came from. But the reality is that we cannot decolonize something if we don't truly understand the processes of colonization. So in order to decolonize something, you have to understand the colonial past. And that is something that I strive for, because many times a lot of this activist voices tend to cry a lot about the things that are wrong in this world, which is important, but we need to be more critical, and we need to understand the complicated processes, historical processes of how certain groups in this country and around the world are oppressed the way they are. And I think if we truly understand that the history part of that, then the process of decolonization will be so much easier and it will be stronger. So yeah. Thank you very much, Michelle, because that is a really, really good point. And I think that's something that we try to do here in Latinos Who Lunch. Not only say, oh, this is bullshit, but we also need to understand why this is bullshit and when did it started being bullshit, you know? So it's perfect. Thank you so much, Michelle.
And and when we do our Selena episode, I can't wait to convert you. So, you know, just be ready.
You better be listening. Oh, and also she added that she loves the podcast and that she wants to start her own podcast. And she wanted,
Hallelujah.
She wanted to ask about production.
Oh, girl. We've recorded this podcast that you're listening to right now.
Three
or four times already, because I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm the producer. So you're asking the wrong people, girl. I can tell you that we have I think it's called a mixer, where you plug the microphones in and it's plugged into my computer. And that's part of the issue, because my computer is old. Mm-hmm. And
but we started first borrowing equipment.
Oh my
right?
God. When we first.
And then after that, we sneak in a studio.
And then I had to keep reminding Babelito to actually talk in his microphone.
Yes.
So.
You should see him. He looks so annoyed. And my piece.
Why are you like 3 miles away from the mic?
Because now I'm so self-conscious about my
piece. Well, get closer because nobody can hear you.
Because I just heard the Juan Gabriel episode. And the piece are real. Yeah, anyway, so it's been a process.
Para unas cosas se abre la boca, ¿verdad? So,
stupida.
No, anyway. But as far as you just gotta do it, girl, like that's it. Babelito and I have been talking about doing a podcast for years.
2 years.
Since we fucking met.
Yeah.
We're like, we went and had tacos one day and we're like, oh my God, you're so funny. You're so funny. Let's start a podcast. Great. Okay. And it took us 2 years to do it. And what did it take? It took, you know, literally just us going, okay, we're going to make it happen. We're borrowing equipment. Shout out to Ed. We're sneaking into people's studios, literally like sneaking
at
into,
night.
Shout out to, I'm not going to say who, cause he's going to get in trouble, but we were sneaking into like recording studios and doing the first podcast. Mm-hmm. So, now we have our own shit and I'm trying to figure that out, but.
And that was the best, how do you say, consejo, the best advice that we got. Just do it. Don't think about it. Just go ahead and do it.
Just do it, and we keep learning. And what we're saying right now, we're gonna have to say it again because this is the fucking fourth time I've said this. Because
revísale, güey, para que no
vuelva. No, because every time I touch the computer, something goes wrong. This is it. I'm not. I don't know. I need to watch more YouTube tutorials. Are great.
Help. Yeah.
Google it. Google it, locas.
Google it, Michelle. Google it. Pregúntale a Hugo.
Oh, okay. I got another email here from our listener, Christy. Are you ready for this? Hello, first time writer, long time listener. A brief comment in the podcast. Oh, so this letter is about episode 6, Stand y Échale Ganas, which was about Jaime Escalante and the movie Stand and Deliver.
Échale ganas.
Ponte trucha.
Trucha.
The crystal must chingón. Louis Diamond Phillips, we love you. So let's see, where are we? A brief comment in the podcast stood out to me. It stood out to me because I'm Asian American. When discussing representation in media, there was an insinuation that there was somewhat of an influx in South Asians on TV. Being Asian American, this assumption was almost laughable. This year, Aziz Ansari was the first South Asian in Emmy history to be nominated for an Emmy in an acting category. It's 2016, and this is the first time a South Asian has even been nominated. Crazy. Another crazy statistic is the first predominantly Asian cast aired in 1994, Margaret Cho's American Girl. The show wasn't very good and was canceled after one season. It wasn't until 2015, 21 years later, that Fresh Off the Boat aired. 21 years. She did that all caps bold, Kanye style.
Kanye style.
A recent New York Times article about Asian Americans and the lack of visibility says that one of the topics was about how white actors are being cast for Asian characters. This has happened since the dawn of cinema and still happens today. You have Natalie Wood and Lou Diamond Phillips playing Latino. Well, Asians have John Wayne, Katherine Hepburn, Anthony Quinn, Boris Karloff, Fred Astaire, Marlon Brando, Alec Guinness, Mickey Rooney, Joel Grey, Linda Hunt, Max von Sydow, Peter Sellers, David Carradine, Mike Myers, and many, 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 many others playing characters of Asian descent. A recent egregious example, Emma Stone in Aloha is supposed to be she's supposed to be part Hawaiian
el favor,
and Chinese. Was she black in the help too? Jesus Christ. What the fuck, she says. Also, actually, just WTF, she's a lady, okay? Also, the movie The Martian was originally a book. In the book, there's a character of Korean descent. In the movie, she's replaced with a white actor. Another South Asian character in the book was replaced by Chiwetel Ejiofor. Oh, okay. Misrepresentation and lack of representation is insidious and is still rampant today in the 21st century. While I think there's been some stories, especially in TV, there's still a lot of progress to be made. I look forward to a day where actors aren't cast solely for their ethnicity or to fulfill racial and ethnic tropes, but just cast as people. I think a good show that does this right now is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which might seem silly, but the cast is racially diverse, and the men and women of the show are equally represented. Keep up the good work, and thanks for opening up a conversation. Your number one Korean-American fan, Christy!
Ooh.
Ha ha, bitch! She read you to filth! Mugre!
Marrana!
Basura!
I'll take it.
Chuco. ¿Cómo dicen los guatemaltecos?
Chuco.
Chuco. Cochino.
Ay.
Mugroso. Mugre.
I take it.
Eres un
mujer. I take it. Good. But
girl,
I have...
la biblioteca está abierta, okay? Not only did she give you the receipts, yes, girl, she sent you an invoice. She said... she
said... I know.
Ooh, she sent you an invoice
hablar, pendeja.
Via email. She printed it out, faxed it to you. She let you know.
Okay.
Don't talk about Asian representation
no,
because
she's right.
Damn, we think we have
she
it bad.
She's right.
She's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So,
ooh, that was fun. Christy, thank you so much for that email. And it's true because this came up because you were saying how now there's a lot of, you know, Aziz Ansari has a show, and you feel like
the token brown person
is usually,
of the white shows is
yeah,
usually
an Indian.
That's what I see.
Because all you do is watch Big Bang Theory, pendeja. Anyway.
Love it. But in my defense,
okay,
I see Mexico and I see the southwest of the states as sharing the same history, right? Because we do share the same history for many, many,
I mean,
for many years.
Sure. Not in history books, but in real life, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so... When I see TV, I will think, well, we share so many things in common. We share a territory, you know? And
yeah,
then especially California produced shows. I mean, this is LA. LA, everybody speaks Spanish in LA now. So the thing is that with all of that, with all of that, that history, you still don't see the Latino characters or yeah. character or characters, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why I said that she's right. It ain't a competition. And we have to be careful not to let that distract us from the reality of things. And the reality is that we need to make those complaints be clear so there's more diversity in show instead of like fighting with each other. But I'm glad she gave us statistics. I'm glad she gave us names. I'm glad she gave us all of that information because this is what we try to do in this show about Latinos, but that happens with a lot of different groups that are not represented, that are still completely invisible in U.S. media. So,
so true.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Yeah, and you know, after I read this email, I was, you know, you always get a little defensive, right? Mm-hmm. But then I right after I got it, we went and saw Ghostbusters, and you know, usually when I see some a blockbuster movie or a TV show, I'm counting the brown people, right? Because you're, you know, you see what you want to see or you see what you're interested in, right? So, guess how many brown people had a line in the movie?
Zero.
One.
Oh my God.
One Latino in the movie that had a line, and guess what their job was in the movie?
A janitor.
Yeah, exactly. Dios mío. A janitor in the movie. Okay. But then I was like, oh my gosh, oh cool. In this new version, the Ghostbusters are in a Chinese restaurant or in like an Asian restaurant is their headquarters. One Asian in the movie. The delivery boy.
See, that's the thing, and like Latinos in this country, we're...
I don't even know if he's Asian, actually. He just kind of... I don't know.
Like, we are growing so Ooh. Much. We're such a huge voice, and it's just not reflected. Mm-hmm. And again, there should be equal opportunity for everybody, right?
But yeah.
The sad reality that it's not... I never meant to be a competition, because it's not about that. It's just that our job here in Latinos Who Launch is to highlight that. You highlight the invisibility and why that invisibility started for Latinos. But I'm so glad she read me. I'm so glad we got that email. Cállate.
She read you to filth. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, bitch. That was biblical. Hijuela.
Okay, el que sigue.
Am I next? Or are you next?
Okay, so the next email comes from Hillary from California.
Oh, Cali in the house.
And this is regarding Keeping Up with Cuba, episode number 9.
Okay.
Hey, kids, she says. Love the episode about the Kardashians in Cuba. Once again, we have white colonizers othering and keeping a native population stuck in time. Oof, that was good. And LOL, quote, there's nothing more dangerous than a bored white man. End of quote. That was a good line.
Thank you.
That was a good line.
Thank you so much.
So true. I would love for you to talk about the myth of the oppressed artist. I'm not a little sure what she's talking about here. But anyway, Babelito, do you remember when Coco Fusco was on a panel at CAA talking about oppressed artists and you ask a question and she called you a name? If you remember the story, could you retell it, please? Your biggest fan, Hillary.
Oh, you know why? Because you said, remember... the art looked very DIY in Cuba, and you're like, Cuba's a very serious art. Cubans are very serious when it comes to the art world. They have their mm-hmm. own biennial, so it's not like they're suffering. You know, there's a really vibrant art scene there.
It's been there for decades.
That's what she's mentioning. Mm-hmm. And maybe you asked Coco Fusco something about that.
Yeah, and Coco Fusco is an important Latina artist, right? She does all kinds of different media. But there was a panel in CAA, CAA's College of Art Association, and it's basically a conference where all the art people and art history people come together to discuss things like that. There's panels, different papers, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was about it was about contemporary Latin American art and how they go against the law in order to highlight oppression, right? And one of the things that I said, because one of the things I noticed with contemporary Mexican art, for example, is that it's very, they continue the same patterns of oppression. The art is, it's ethically speaking, it can be a mess, right? So I said, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
Between violating the law to highlight this and just continuing the same circle of colonial violence. And she called me part of contemporary hysteria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she said, oh, we cannot say anything anymore and blah, blah, blah. So she went off on me and I just turned off. And I'm like, whatever, you didn't get my question and that's okay. Plus she doesn't care who I am, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think she called me a name, but she basically said that we were part of a hysteric contemporary audience that cannot relax. But, you know, like, I mean, we should have an episode just about Latin American contemporary artists, because there's some really wonderful artists and there's
I am right here.
There's some wonderful artists, but there's also like messy ones, like
hella messy.
And we were talking about it in the Keeping Up with Cuba, right? That it's just, it's homogenized many times.
I want to talk to you about somebody, but I have to wait till after the show.
Okay, well.
Because I just saw some pictures, but yeah, okay.
No. But anyway, thank you very much, Hillary, for that. And yeah, I remember that conversation, but the only thing, and it was funny because I'm packing my stuff to go to Albuquerque, and I opened a notebook, and the notes from that presentation went in that notebook.
No way.
Yes. Yeah, so.
When are you leaving? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Who am I going to have lunch with?
I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on.
We can Skype lunch. It'll be fun. Okay, let's see. Which one should I read? Oh, this is a good one. Short and sweet. Mm-hmm. From Anonymous. This is an email. Question. Is Taco Tuesday racist?
Yes.
Okay, next. Is Taco Tuesday racist, do you think?
This is a good example.
What?
When I don't know the origin of it, I cannot comment.
Taco Tuesday.
Where did it came from?
Tacos? Came from Mexico. Tuesdays came from the earth, from Martes, Mars, you know, the Roman calendar. So it's alliteration.
The Roman calendar?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up, right? Didn't they believe in all that shit? Like,
I don't know. Like, where does it come from? If you tell
me Taco Tuesday,
like Taco Bell put it together so they can sell more tacos, and then I will say yes, the origins and the history of Taco Tuesday is oppressive, and we shouldn't go with it. But I don't know.
Okay,
it's just an opportunity to eat tacos. So.
It's alliteration. That's it.
Where did it come from?
Where the language?
Everything
I don't know.
Has an origin, man.
Okay,
everything.
Well, you know what? This is a great question, and I probably should have researched it. But I don't think Taco Tuesday is racist. I think that it's wonderful. And hello, tacos for cheap, for cheaper than usual.
That's true.
That's wonderful.
You're right.
That's not racist.
Yeah. Cheap tacos, yeah. Every day is taco day for me, so.
Every day is Taco Tuesday for Latinos to lunch, so.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what is racist, though, is like Cinco de Mayo shit. That is the worst.
And Day of the Death.
Day of the Dead.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Not Dia de los Muertos, but Day of the Dead. Many times it's celebrated here, like Halloween.
Yeah.
We're going to have a whole episode about Day of the Dead. I can't wait for that.
We'll call it Cinco de Drinco, Dia de los Muertos, Sugar Skull Extravaganza.
Oh, Disney mess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about it anymore. To answer your question, I don't know. Oh, you know what I thought about, though? Mm-hmm. There's this great podcast where they actually tackle questions like this once in a while. Mm-hmm. That's like their... But it's actually well researched, unlike me, because you are. I'm the one over here trying to make sure this podcast actually records. So
that's more important. ¿Cómo
está tu agüita de melón?
Me subo mi boquita.
Uy. So, the podcast is called Yo. Is this the podcast is called Yo? Is this racist? And it's hosted by Andrew T. And Speaking of Asian Americans, he is an Asian American who has a podcast, so support that podcast. And it's great. He's a comedian, so he'll have comedians on the show. And sometimes it'll be serious topics, like the Olympics just happened, so there was a lot of episodes about that. And they're like 10, 15 minutes maybe. And so somebody will call in, ask a question, like, hey, is it racist that I name my son Malcolm X? Or, hey, is it racist that...
If you have to ask the question, it probably is.
And that's usually his answer. But it's fun, exactly. It's fun to listen to their answers, because they break it down and they make it funny. But I think it's on the Earwolf Network, which is a big podcast, a big podcast network. All right, so Babelito, do you got an email over there?
Yes, I have another one here about the Frida Fantasy. This is from Kate. I think she's in San Francisco.
Frida Fantasy episode 5.
Número 5, you see.
All right.
She says, hola, Fabi.
Hi.
Hi, Babelito. I'm from San Francisco, and I'm really enjoying your podcast. I knew I would want to listen when you said you were inspired by another round. Okay. And just had a few thoughts about your Frida episode. Here it comes. I really appreciate the balance you brought to the topic, given that Fabi is inspired to continue learning about Frida and that Babelito can appreciate her art, yet firmly believes in examining her work within a larger historical context. It made for a really good conversation. I really appreciate you both taking the time to delve into the complexity of Frida's identity politics, both as she constructed them in her own time and as they are perceived now. Frida was the first Latina role model I ever had, and I think a lot of people can say that. I learned about her in high school, and this was in the 80s when there was very little, if any, Latina representation in mainstream US culture. So when I find out about her, I freaked out. Frida became immensely important to me, even though I'm Peruvian American, because as a Latina, she was a powerful symbol, both of visibility and possibility. With all that said, I believe in and fully support cultural critique. I completely agree that there's no harm in dissecting Frida's privilege, her ethnicity, her awareness, and her quote-unquote brand, etc. At the same time, though, the eternal question remains. Would we hold her at the same standards of behavioral perfection if she was a man? Thanks again for raising the topic, for going into ecstasies over food. You're welcome. And for the podcast in total. Ciao. Gracias, Kate.
Ciao.
She said ciao.
That's nice.
Very Whoa, cool.
There's some great points she brings up.
There's some good emails.
So would she have been taken seriously if she...
Let me read it again.
Say that
would
question.
We hold her to the same standards of behavioral perfection if she was a man?
Well, there's so many problems with that because she is a woman. You know, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially because of my art, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and... I mentioned this listening to the podcast So Many White Guys with Phoebe Robinson mm-hmm. on the last episode.
So many white guys.
So many. And she was interviewing Roxane Gay, right? Mm-hmm. And there was this great segment in that interview where she talks about women writers, right? Black women writers, right? And how they're having a difficult time because... when it comes to the world of, you know, any kind of art, not just writing, people forget that there can be more than one black feminist writer at the same time, mm-hmm. right? And so a lot of women come up to her and say, you know, I was denied this job or I had to change my story because they said, you know what, Roxane Gay already exists, so we don't need you to write about that. Oh. So, which is so fucked up, right? And... Another thing that she talked about is women having to be autobiographical in their writing for it to be published. Because a woman can't be an authority. A woman can't be in this patriarchy that we live in. We do live in it. So open your eyes, people. Mm-hmm. Women can't just be an authority on something, right? They have to
suffer.
They have to suffer.
Yeah.
They have to just write about their own experience, right? So Roxane Gay was talking about how she would go to the writer and show them, or to an editor and show them a story. And they're like, oh, but where are you in the story? She's like, no, I'm a journalist or I'm a writer. I'm just giving you the facts, baby. You know what I mean? Like, this is not an iobot. This is, you know, so it's like, it's this thing now that I also see in the art world, like my artwork is very personal. Right. And I kind of fall into that category where like my art isn't, if I just make a general art piece, like this year, for example, I made an artwork that wasn't out of paper and didn't look like a piñata. Mm-hmm. So people are like, so what is this? Is this supposed to be a piñata too? Like, no, bitch, I can make white people art too. Okay. Like, anyway,
it's complicated.
It's very complicated. And that's one of the reasons why Frida was so successful is because she actually fit into all of those categories. She was a woman who suffered. Her work was autobiographical, right? So it
belonged to a patriarchy.
It belonged to the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and on top of that, it was about Mexicanidad, about identity. So that's why she's become one of the most important artists in art history, is because she did follow a lot of people are like, she was a rebel, blah, blah, blah. Actually, she was right on the lines that she needed to be, you know, kind of thing for her to be a successful artist in many ways.
She also played the game.
She played him like a fucking fiddle too. So.
Yeah, she played the game. She knew what she was doing. I think, and this goes back to Michelle's email and also other emails that we'd be getting about, because I do put her I talked about her in a more critical way because she's become this big icon, right? And why and how has she become this big icon? And I refuse to be another voice praising the work of Frida, and I like to be critical about her work because I do find a lot of problems. So I'm glad that Kate, along with Michelle, appreciate that aspect of it. And I think one of my biggest problems with her is that at the end of the day, we talked about appropriation. Why? And then I got some emails saying, well, yes, but she highlighted other cultures. She wore rebozos from different parts of Mexico. And she was part of a group of artists, Diego Rivera, Orozco, Siqueiros, Roberto Montenegro, many, many modern artists that were working in Mexico, where they were working alongside the government. Like, the government was using their art to create a new sense of identity, to create this notion, this imaginary notion of the nation.
Mexicanidad.
And I mean,
nationalism.
And the idea is that we talked about it here in the show. Like, how can you use, for example, the cultures of like central Mexico to expand into the whole territory that is Mexico today? And why does it have to be limited according to borders? So that even that idea of identity based on nation, it's already very faulty. And she plays along, I feel, a lot with that. And that's where I have a lot of problems. And at the end of the day, for example, one of the first exhibitions of quote-unquote popular art, which is a term that they made up, was in 1921. And tell me a name of a popular artist. Tell me a name of somebody that is not part of those privileged, quote-unquote, mestizo artists. We don't know anything. So they are in a very, very privileged position. If you guys want to continue liking it and loving it, that's great. And that's fantastic, whatever. But we need to be critical about it because she is an icon for a reason. There's manipulations of things and there's manipulations of history and a lot of things happened and we need to understand that. And at the end of the day, just like Selena that we talked about, just like Juan Gabriel, like if it comes down to taste, there's nothing we can do, right?
Yeah.
But we do. I think it's, for example, my job in the classroom is to highlight those problems. So thank you, Kate. This is a good email and I'm glad we touched upon this, and I'm sure we're gonna keep getting emails about Frida because it became like this controversial thing. I think people saw Latinos and they thought we were just gonna be like, oh, Frida, we love you,
we're gonna be like, yay, Mazapan.
Yes. But no, I mean, it's more complicated than that, and I'm glad that we're starting a conversation, and keep it coming.
Yay. Keep it coming. That's right. Okay. Thank you for that, Babelito. That was nice. I blacked out a little bit, but I'm back. Okay. Just kidding. Okay. Well, we have another letter here from Celeste. And full disclosure, she is my cousin. And if you listen to episode 7, Guara Guara La Cuchara, it was just a podcast about me and Babelito catching up. And we talked about
our summers.
We talked about our summers and quesadillas and me being a drunk mess. And so this is Celeste, who she was the bride who was getting married. And I went to her bachelorette party.
Si quiere azul celeste, que le cueste.
So here's her email. Hello, hello, hi, Babelito. I'm a super fan of yours. Hi, Justin. I'm a fan of yours too, but not that much because we grew up together. LOL. So I listened to Guara Guara La Cuchara and I loved it, like always. Thank you for the shout out, Justin. I'm super proud of you too. And oh yeah, I'm proud of her because she's a doctor. She's so legit.
Shout out. Awesome. She's
cutting up people.
That's badass.
Anyways, I wanted to point out a couple points. Yes, I did that. Just use point twice in one sentence. number one, champiñones equals mushrooms that you can eat, not hongos. Hongos is what you get on your feet. Damn, girl. Okay. People are reading you today. Number two, 20 pesos equals $1 and like 10 cents. You guys are still on 1995 currency exchange rate status. Okay.
It's true.
Number three, yeah. Babelito pretty much nailed it. When I am not keeping tabs, which is always, and I am eating street food, which is pretty much always, I happen to get cramps. It's always like a box of chocolates type of situation. Do I have to run to the bathroom? I never know what I'm going to get. my period, the shits, or food poisoning. So yeah, at least for me, that's it. Congrats on getting food poisoning, though. I always wish for that one. So that was a member because you were comparing it to your stomach pains.
I wasn't comparing. I said
women have said it's like menstrual cramps. Yes. And I said, girl, don't even go there because you have no idea.
But look at that.
But she said, sure. Okay. Well,
gracias, Celeste.
Okay. Ha 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 ha. You know what I thought of now? What if you got a parasite or something and you didn't, because you didn't wash your hands after you picked up that dirty dollar from the black puddle, huh? Pinches solitaria as shit. That's what she said. So what happened? She thinks she's funny. No, I'm just kidding. She's really funny.
Is that the end of the email?
No, but I want to know.
Okay. I got something. I think it was like a form of salmonella that ate me from the inside out. I lost like 25, 30 pounds.
Damn.
Yes.
In How come month, I never get these fucking viruses?
Tell you where those tacos are and you can go. But I don't know. Who knows what right happened now. And who, what. But yeah, it wasn't pretty. And it lasted for a month and a half.
Ugh.
It was gross.
Well, te ves delgado.
Gracias. Tú también. I know.
Me caes bien.
Tú también.
Okay. And last point. And last point, number four. Justin, don't trip. You swear you're only... She's so stupid. She's so dumb. Okay, let me... I can't read ahead because I start laughing. Justin, don't trip. You swear you were the only fucker that blacked out. There was like 13 of us at the bachelorette party. Ask me how many made it back to the wonderful hotel suite. Four. Four. And from those four, one had a million nip slips. One fell and doesn't know how she scratched up her ass and arms. Oh my the other God. The other barfed on a bag of shoes. Oh. Don't ask. And the others, who fucking knows. Oh my gosh. We're all fucked up. At least you were very Beyonce and awesome on the dance floor.
You didn't mention that you were dancing on the dance floor.
Girl, because I didn't know that I was on the dance floor. God. I
were
was black.
Single ladies or what?
I don't know that choreo, but maybe. I don't know. Only difference, you were the only fucker with an early flight. LOLOL. Love you guys, Celeste.
Hi, Celeste.
Gracias, Celeste.
That's awesome.
Titi. All right.
That's funny.
Oh.
But let's talk about hongos and champignons.
Oh, you want to get into it, boy?
I want to get into it.
Okay, let's go.
Come on. I said hongos.
Okay.
I corrected you.
You corrected me, and what did I say?
Espérate.
Espérate?
Déjame terminar.
Okay, I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Gracias. I said hongos because when you go to Mexico City, for example, Central Mexico, if you order a quesadilla with champiñones, many times people do not understand what you're saying because over there they are called hongos, okay?
Okay.
And you were talking about a quesadilla from Puebla and you said with champiñones. I said, no, that's with hongos.
Okay.
He dicho, caso cerrado.
No. Señorita Laura, another show, okay? You're on the wrong fucking show, bitch. Okay, I'm going to calm down because I can't be upset right now. This is we're having to talk about mushrooms. Okay, it's regional. That's what you're saying, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are we right now, sir?
We are
in the Southwest, right? The Southwest United States, right? Of the United States of America.
Sí.
Okay, where do they call mushrooms hongos?
Champiñones.
Or champiñones? Northern Mexico.
Northern Mexico.
What was this? Years ago, Northern Mexico, okay?
Oh, so now, okay.
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 So that's why it's champiñones, all right? If we were doing this podcast in Puebla, sure, I would say hongos, but we're not, okay?
But you ate the quesadilla in Puebla.
Yeah, I ate it there. Okay, here's another example that might help you out. So do you know what a mountain lion is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you know what a puma is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a cougar is?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a feline.
It's all the same shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I get attacked here in Las Vegas, I'm going to say, oh shit, a mountain lion, right? Because that's what we call it here, okay?
But you said it, if you get attacked, like if you eat it.
No, if it eats me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the word that I use, okay? If I go to fucking Florida, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, a puma. It's going to be a fucking mountain lion. That's the first word that's going to come out of my fucking mouth.
All right, all right.
Anyway, that didn't make any sense. But you know what I'm saying.
It is una tonta. Okay.
It's just sometimes it's just better not to correct people. Okay? Okay. Do you have any more emails or are we done?
We have one more.
Oh, okay, great.
And this is a good one because this is somebody reading us about the name of our podcast a little bit.
Here we go.
No, this is good. Okay. This is from Madalena from Colorado.
I know her. Mm-hmm. What up, Madalena?
Hey, Mavi. Thank you so much for this show. I have enjoyed listening to every episode. They are filled with such humor and intellect. I love that you show us how our complex history impacts us today, but in such an engaging way. Unfortunately, they also make me really hungry. When I first read it, I thought she said hungry, angry. Anyway, I could go on and on about so many topics you bring up if I had the time, but as a mama, I'm lucky to have this moment to say this. She needs to listen to Super Mamas.
Oh, I love that podcast. Yes, shout out to Super Mamas.
Hi, Super Mamas. They're wonderful. So anyway, Maddie, you should listen to Super Mamas. I'm lucky, again, to have this moment to say this. I appreciate your candid discussion of your experiences with your identities. I hope that in the future you will have the opportunity to talk with guests from different regions, ethnic backgrounds, to discuss their experiences. But I can guess that all of us share the same one. Quote, you're not... parenthesis, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Salvadorian, etc. End of parenthesis. Enough. Quote. End of quote. When can we move past this? Our labels or ethnonyms don't even make sense anyway. You've always discussed the Spanish, the gross word Hispanic, so I'll leave it there. Latino is only slightly better. Huh. For one thing, the name reifies the patriarchy of the Spanish language. If you had to add the arroba, like the at symbol, the term it is based upon Latinoamericano. Doesn't make any sense. It was first used in the 19th century, shortly after the independence movements of the majority of the Ibero-American world. I didn't know that. It was used by a French man and then adopted by white Ibero-American intellectuals to solidify ties between the Ibero-Americas and the former territories. of the Roman Empire, in particular France, who was trying to fill the imperial vacuum Spain left behind, and halt relations between the Southern and Northern Americas, in specific the U.S. All of this political maneuvering goes back to, you guessed it, and thank you for quickly discussing it in your show, the Reformation and Counter-Reformation in Europe. Girl, everything goes back to the Reformation and Counter-Reformation. The current fear-mongering about Latinos taking over the U.S., Anglo-Saxons, Protestants, taking over the U.S. culture is a direct descendant of the cultural wars of the 17th century Europe. History never dies, she says. Perhaps Latino is a bit better than Hispanic, since it doesn't necessarily tie us to Europe. But I wish we could come up with something that was a little more accurate. What would it be? Indo-Ibero-American? Mestizo-American? La raza? Also, answer me something. I've always wondered, if the Philippines were a territory of Spain for longer than Mexico, why aren't Filipinos considered Latino too?
Ooh.
Mil gracias y sigan adelante.
Wow.
That was a very informative email. Gracias, Mada.
So the first question is, what is a better term? I like la raza. That's la pretty raza awesome. Cool.
But I think la raza also stems from early 20th century, la raza cósmica stuff that was happening in Mexico when they were trying to create this sense of identity about Mexicans, which what we were talking about with Frida. So I'm not a fan of it, but I mean, it works. I don't know what a good term is. And Latino, you're right. Latino has its problems.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, there's a longer history, of course, because it's about the Latin languages, right? The Romance languages.
Uh-huh.
But the reality thing is that we use this language because that's what comes from the census, Censo Americano.
Sí.
So prior to all of this, like prior to the 1970s, we were all white. Like Latinos were just considered white. But that generalization avoids to count the numbers and say, oh, this...
It actually counts us out because we're not represented.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so absolutely. How can you provide services to a certain segment of the community if you don't know how many there exist?
Exactly.
So from that, in the 1970s, it switched to Hispanics.
Yeah.
So people from Latin America.
I mean, thank God, because now we have the Hispanic aisle in the grocery store. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah.
So now you have Hispanics.
Yeah.
But as we've talked about before, Hispanic is also refers to, a lot of it refers to heritage from Spain. And it doesn't necessarily consider this mixture of different types of blood and different races that occurred during the colonial period. Just like in this, which this is very interesting, just like in the U.S. Census, we have over 200 categories where you can check in a box. And a lot of those has to do with nation, right?
Yeah.
Am I Hispanic, Latino, this, and that? The same thing happened in the colonial period. It's different castes. So
that's
nothing
all it
has
is.
Changed. Like nothing has changed.
Nothing.
And then there's a really good episode about Latino USA where they break this down.
Shout out to Latino USA.
Yes, it's a good
Maria Hinojosa, what a do girl.
Maria Hinojosa, I love
her. Oh.
Yes.
She's so good.
And they talk about how later, I think it was in the 1990s, they started to try to change that into the term Latino, and that's what stuck. But things are always changing. Identity, personally and politically, it's something that is always changing. So people are always telling you who you are, and you're always changing according to that, right?
Yeah.
So we were talking about, after we recorded the Juan Gabriel episode, we were talking about how our relationship with Juan Gabriel changed throughout history according to how we change with ourselves. So our acceptance of us being gay changed the perception of Juan Gabriel. So the identity of Juan Gabriel in us changes all the time, just like he changed his identity all the time. And the same thing with those terms. So Latino means something today, it meant something yesterday, now you have the X, and it means something completely different.
Latinx.
And it's going to continue to change.
Yeah.
So like that, one of the things that we have to understand is that identity, just like all these terms, are not fixed things. So instead of talking about somebody's being, we're talking about somebody becoming. So we're always becoming something different. And that's something that a lot of people don't want to understand. And they just want to put you in a box for political reasons, economic reasons.
Right.
And I mean...
And even the word Hispanic, for example, it doesn't mean what it meant hundreds of years ago when they started using it.
Yeah, Hispanic in the 19th century meant something. You see, for example, Maddie talks a little bit about it. In the 18th century, something different. And in Europe means something.
Yeah.
And America. So it's
just like the word Latino. So I'm thinking about that a lot, too, because we are Latinos who lunch. And, mm-hmm. I think that it's a self-identifier, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not saying that that's the correct term to use.
Correct.
Because I know that you're not 100% comfortable with that term. We've talked about it in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm more comfortable with it. Well, first of all, I'm an American, number one. And then number two, I consider myself a Latino, right? Because I'm Guatemalan, I'm Mexican, I'm from the Southwest. So it's just an umbrella term that I fit into, and it's just better than, not better, but to me, it's just more correct than saying I'm Mexican. Right, because that's what they say,
and that's limiting too, as well.
And it's limiting, absolutely. Uh-huh. And if you guys haven't caught it yet, it's just a reference to the term "ladies who lunch," Latinos who lunch, because we're ladies who lunch too. So, and that term was actually when we're thinking of a title for this podcast, we were at the gym with our friend Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Jen, and Jen just is like, Latinos who lunch. She just came up with it.
We haven't given her credit.
We haven't given her a proper shout out. Jen, thank you so much, Jen.
Muchísimas gracias. Yes. But you're right.
People, I'll see you at the next Taco Tuesday, girl.
When I promote this, people are like, since when do you consider yourself Latino? Like, aren't you Mexican? It's like, okay, like, let's bring this together, because again, there are very, very, very complicated terms. So I'm glad she brought it up. I'm glad, because we are aware of these things, you know, and if we're not, then we have our audience to make us aware of
them.
So let's keep this conversation going. This is so fun. This is so cool. And what, episode 20? We should do it again?
Sure. Let's plan on episode 20.
Okay.
Maybe 21. We'll see how we feel. And I had so much fun. I especially loved Christy's email. That was really fun. Because
that
for
gave
me.
You an opportunity that to gave call me names.
So much fuel. But you know I love you. So it's not, it's all in jest, right?
I love the conversation surrounding the Frida episode. I've gotten emails about, oh my God, I never thought about her like that. Thank you so much. Yeah. And other people are like, I don't agree with you. What is wrong with you? And all of that, it's valid. And let's keep it coming. And hopefully the next 10 episodes will bring and create the same conversation that this first 10 episodes, because we're a very young podcast. Started. So.
Yeah, spring chickens over here.
Ya te cansaste, ¿verdad?
Ya estoy cansado, man.
A la chingada, pues.
I know. Wow. Hopefully this actually recorded. That would be fucked
no,
up.
No, güey. Si no, ya.
Yeah. A la chingada. Sorry. We're not doing this anymore.
Sí.
Do you have any recommendations? Shit. You've been telling me about an album this whole week. You want to talk about that?
Oh, my God.
Let it.
I can put I don't understand how I live my life without this album.
Shut up.
Girl.
Qué exagerado, güey.
No, vete la chingada, güey. Don't dismiss my love for Frank Ocean. All of you Frank Ocean fans out there, send your emails, your hate emails to Fabi Fab. It is.
Blonde, the new Frank Ocean album?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so good.
Tell me about
it. It was such
a
hype. He came out with an album like 4 or 5 years ago, and he's been saying.
I love that Sweet Life song. Anyway, go ahead.
What is it? Channel Orange.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I think people are expecting the new album because it was such a big album. And he was taking his time. Finally, in July of 2015, he said, it's coming. So everybody was going crazy in the internet waiting for the new album. And then he wasn't ready for it, right? And finally, the album came out this past couple of weeks. It's almost like an a cappella album, but it is so good. So good.
I'm gonna have to listen to it.
It's
I can't
a beautiful,
wait.
Beautiful
I can't
album.
Wait.
And it's
I heard Beyonce was doing backup vocals in this shit.
Ooh. Beyonce graced one of the songs with her with her angelic voice.
Nice.
But what I like about Frank Ocean is that he's also in a way bending this gender ideas, because he's identified before as as bisexual, and sometimes he identifies as like, who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah.
And like one song will be about a girl that he fell in love with. One song will be about a boy that he fell in love with.
Yeah.
And you don't see the difference in tone. It's the same person, which goes to show you the fluidity of gender. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about a lot of drugs.
To quote Honey Boo Boo, everybody a little gay.
So my recommendation is Blonde this week. A beautiful, I'm sure by the time this episode comes out, it's old, but I don't care. It's great. And it also comes with a visual album. I mean, a video. So it's almost like he put out two albums at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
Good stuff. What about you?
Me? Okay, this is might be a little weird, but I don't give a shit. I'm going to tell you anyway. So one of my favorite pastimes is watching YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So I watch a lot of drag queen shit, but I don't know how to say this without sounding creepy, but so
go for it, girl.
You know what ASMR is like when you can watch these videos on YouTube of people like talking really soft and it's like supposed to like relax you kind of thing. You never heard about that?
No.
So it's like this. So like, okay, everybody, I'm going to do a little ASMR for you. I forgot what it stands for.
Go for it. Go for it.
But for some people,
ASMR. Okay.
Yeah. So for some people, when they like to listen to people whispering, and it relaxes them and it triggers a certain part of the brain and it just makes you feel good and like, make, you know, like a lot of people listen to it to fall asleep. So it's like, hi, this is Justin. I'm gonna describe what I said. So it's like that. It's weird, right? So I was on an ASMR kick where I was just like, because I find it so weird. So I just like, it's like girl, it's guys and girls, and they're like describing like jewelry or like it's all different. And like 2 hours into this shit, for real, 2 hours into this, I found this thing called mukbang, right? Uh-huh. Mukbang are videos of, this is all Japanese shit probably because, mm-hmm. you know, they freaks. So, no, that's not right. I shouldn't put them into categories, but yes. I've seen a lot of weird porn, so they are freaks. So anyway, there's this thing called mukbang where mm-hmm. it's videos of people eating entire meals.
Oh, I've seen those.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
Okay.
The one that you showed me.
I did show you this. Yes. Okay, good. Okay. So, I'm going through all these mukbang videos and they're not sexual, okay? So you're uh-huh. thinking they're sexual, but I was watching this big white girl for a while and she was like eating cheeseburgers or just like they eat a whole meal. Their videos are like 20 minutes long.
God bless the internet.
It's so weird. But then there's this channel called Eat with Chunky, and it's this brown girl.
Yes, that's
from
it.
California.
That's it.
And she is so awesome.
She's amazing.
And she's a chola for sure.
Oh, shout out.
So shout out to Eat
we
with
need
Chunky.
To get her in the show.
Oh my God. And I was like, she's a Latina who lunches. Like
that's right.
That's her job. Every day she posts videos of her eating.
Okay, anybody out there who knows her?
Eat with Chunky.
Like,
look it up. She's awesome, and her boyfriend's on it sometimes. I think she has kids, like, from what I can hear in the background. But the other day, I just saw her eating sushi. It was so awesome.
Yes, yes.
Oh, see,
so if anybody knows her, like, let her know that we're looking for her. Cause...
Or we could just message her, probably.
But I mean, if she knows somebody, that will be easier.
I would love to interview
her
because
oh
I think
God.
It's so interesting.
Forget the interview. Let's just like eat.
Or eat with
and
her.
And talk.
Eat with her. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
No, but we have our tamarindo dinner first.
And then tamarindo?
Tamarindo. Pinche gabacho.
Okay.
But muchas gracias.
Oh my gosh. What a lovely episode. It was so
it was
great
good.
Sitting here with you and talking. And mm-hmm. I know you don't want to talk about you leaving, but I'm going to keep bringing it up.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Thank you.
You know it's interesting, and I'm going to say this for my friends here in Vegas. I moved back from Albuquerque in 2011.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for friends. I had my friend Nicole, and that's it in my family. I just want to spend time with them, right? That's one of the reasons why we moved back. And then I met Justin, and then through Justin, I met all these wonderful people,
and now everybody likes him more than they like me, so... Nobody hangs out with me anymore.
Everybody's so supportive.
Yeah.
And that's something that I didn't expect this at the last stage of my graduate studies.
Yeah.
So everybody out there, you know who you are. Thank you for everything. And
but you're we'll not leaving you. Forever. You're just finishing your degree. Dude, you'll
after
be back.
This, I'm going to a postdoc. And after a postdoc, I'm going to teach somewhere else. So I think this is it for me in Vegas. But again,
but
knows?
That doesn't mean we're going to stop recording.
No.
We're going to keep
no.
getting together to do this.
Yes.
And maybe in the future, we'll...
We'll call it your girlfriend.
It'll be like call your girlfriend. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that podcast too, except with better audio. Porque sometimes it's like, come on. It sounds like they're talking into tin cans with strings, like in the fucking Little Rascals or something.
A veces no puedo escucharlo.
Sometimes
like estás your girlfriend. Me vuelve loco.
We got to get out of here.
Okay.
My name's Favi Fav.
My name is Babelito.
You can find us at latinoswholunch.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, all that stuff. SoundCloud, I think. And find us on the Stitcher Network. Remember, go on iTunes, rate and review us. And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.
Bye. God, what if I didn't record?